Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king.
Ooh. All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you actually see this broadcast. Listen. So God is really dealing with me about my deliverance. Yeah. He really is working with me on my deliverance. So last night I had a dream, and when I dream, my dreams aren't normally small things. So I wake up in this, wow, like you really and truly want me to actually do this. And so I had to take a deep breath. And so as I was walking, God starts to talk to me about my faith, you know, my faith in what God is showing me. Do I have faith in it? Because there was a time in my life, and I've always thought big, real big. I've never had a small, my faith was never small. It was always huge. I literally can believe, even in my worst times, I was believing these huge things, these great things, but never understood that it was going to take some work. So, you know, he took me to James 2:26, and it says, "For just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead." That's the Amplified Classic. I love Amplified Classic because it kind of break that thing down to you, right? So as I was going, talking back through it, you know, I'm just talking with God, and he started to bring me back to this place where I really and truly had, you know, big faith in God, but I wasn't operating in the works, the obedience part of it. I wasn't obedient. I was disobedient. I was a rebel. I was stubborn. I was conceited. I was self-absorbed. I was all of these things. And so when I started reading it, and when I started going through my deliverance process, God started to, the faith part never left. I've always had the big faith, but I never knew what needed to go with it. And so I read this scripture. I know this scripture. I've heard this scripture. I've heard people preach about this scripture, but I wasn't applying the scripture, you know? And it starts saying, so faith without works. So, you know, I'll have faith in something, and then I'll do something for a little bit of time and you know, or do one thing, and I'm thinking that it should come to pass. But this thing says, without works. So this is a constant thing. This is a continuous thing. And so we get into a place where, let me just say me, I would get into a place where I wasn't constantly working on it. And so it says works of obedience. So I had to really, really, really realize that, okay, I got to get delivered from this me, myself, and I spirit. I got to get delivered from this disobedient spirit, this rebel spirit, this rebellion spirit, these things that was causing me to not, for my faith not to be, to come alive, for it not to happen. Because it says, without works of obedience, it's dead. So I was sitting there thinking that what I believe and what I was having faith in was going to come to pass. And then here's how the enemy plays with you, right? Because you don't do the works of obedience part, but you still say, I got faith in God that he's going to heal my marriage. I got faith in God that he's going to heal me. I got faith in God that he's going to do this. But yet and still, you don't do the works of obedience. So here's a prime example that I was talking about with the Kings last night, right? So, and I'm transparent. And so I got to hold myself accountable to it. And so, babe, I'm holding myself accountable to it, because last night, I know I made a decision last week you know, with my daughter, and I told her I wasn't gonna have these chips no more. So now these, we talking about chips, right? They call Wild's chips, and because the thing says protein on it, I decide I like them, right? But the chips have so much sodium in it that you can only have 20 pieces, right? I'll get a bag and I'll go over 20 pieces. I'll eat the whole bag in one setting. And so I dealt with hypertension. So I dealt with high blood pressure. I take medicine, right? And so why in the world, and I'm just being transparent, right? Because we're talking about, I have faith in my healing. I got faith that I'll live long. But yet and still, I'm literally being disobedient to the thing that I know that can cause my blood pressure to go up and literally take me out of the game. But I'm having faith that God can get heal me, but I ain't obedient to not doing the simple stuff to allow me to live longer. I'm talking about chips. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about something simple as chips that you can only have 20 pieces of it, but I'm eating a whole bag and I'm opening the door for the enemy to take me out of the game. I'm sitting over here praying that I have long life, that I have longevity, and I got faith that I'll live longer than my mom. I'll have faith that I'll live longer than my uncle and my grandmother and my grandpa. I'm talking about, I'm having faith that I can live that long. I'm binding the spirit of Molech, but yet and still I'm actually eating the very thing that can cause me to die early. See what I'm saying, man? I'm talking about the simple stuff. I ain't even talking about something that's huge, like a marriage that has been dead for 10 years and you still praying for it. You still praying for it. You being consistent with it. And God says, I need you to do this. And he's giving you instructions on it. And now if you're the person that's following all of the instructions, then you're working with faith that is alive. You're working with faith because you're working it. You're constantly working. It says faith without works. You're putting in the work. Constantly, you're being obedient to the very things that you don't want to do that God is telling you to do, because you believe in what he's saying. You're believing in his promises. You're believing that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So you decide, I'm going to work this thing regardless of what somebody else is saying. So my walk this morning was the renewing of my mind. I need you to renew your mind on this, Gerald. You're not doing all of the other stuff anymore, but I'm trying to get you to live long. I want you to live long. My heart goes to, I love the Old Testament, and I love to see, you know, I read about people living 100 and some years or 700 and 500 and 600 years old. Like for real, like what were they doing that they can live 700 years? What were they doing? If God is not a respecter of persons, if he did it for them, why, what's happening now? That's where my mind goes. Why is life getting cut off short? Is it because works of obedience? I mean, works of disobedience? Now, either you're doing works of obedience or you're doing works of disobedience. That's how he told me. You want to have faith in something, but you sitting over here working works of disobedience, Gerald. I told you to do this, but you chose to do that. I told you to forgive and you don't want to really forgive. I told you to love and you don't really want to love. I told you to not eat these chips, but you still eating these chips. I told you to go and apologize, but you don't want to apologize. But you over here having faith that God is going to restore. God is going to reconcile. God is going to rebuild. God is going to do this and do that. But over here, you're working disobedience because you're not following the instructions, Gerald. Y'all can put your own name in there. Because if the shoe fits, wear it. So I'm just saying, when we get into this situation and we don't understand that we have in faith that God is going to give a breakthrough. And God says, okay, you want this major breakthrough. I want you to sow this amount of money into this. And you will say, I'm speaking for myself, right? I'm speaking for my wife. She operates in a spirit of obedience. Now, She gonna do what God says do. I wasn't there. I was like, man, hold on. You saying God want us to sow our mortgage. Now, understand this. First of all, it's times when I wasn't even paying the mortgage. And I was putting the mortgage, I was putting us in foreclosure because I wasn't even paying the mortgage. So now we're gonna go to a place where God is saying, I want you to take your mortgage, go to this conference, and I want you to sow it. My wife don't have no problem with that. I was having a problem with that. I was like, what? The whole thing? Yep. The whole thing. And then God started working with me. God started dealing with me. God started, I started going through my process of deliverance. I started coming against, you know, the spirit of deception, the spirit of self-sabotage, the selfish spirit, the rebel spirit, the rebellion spirit, spirits of witchcraft. So I was going through this deliverance process because God was trying to actually get me to something that if I'm going to believe in something big, then that means I had to sow something big. I had to do something big. I had to give him a prophetic act. I had to give him something to work with. And so my wife understood that she was the disciplined one. I wasn't the disciplined one. I wasn't the obedient one. And so it took a process of me learning how to do this. And so I got to a place where I got through my deliverance process of stripping myself of my old way, of my old thoughts. You know what I mean? Understanding the parable of sowing and reaping, understanding that I can't outbeat God giving. And so I said, okay, God said, try me. Now, remind you, he said, try me. Now, I was trying God in a worldly way. You know how people like, try me. Just try me. Just try it. And I was like, okay, let's just see if it's going to work. Now, I told you, it did. I always had faith. I had faith in myself. I had faith in my abilities. Because there's things that I'm a small guy. And when I was in sports, I was always the smallest person. So I had faith in my skills. I had faith in the things that I could actually do, that I can actually do. I wasn't having faith in other people. I didn't have no faith in something that I couldn't see. And so God was like, try me. I was like, one day, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to try it. I literally started to tithe. I started to sow. And then I told my wife, I said, okay, I'm doing it. Now I wasn't getting anything out of it, but it was the act of obedience. If I would keep doing it, it was the works of obedience. So now I'm just working. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it. And on my job, I was getting favor on my job and never knew why I was getting favor. I was getting favor because I decided that I was so something that that the job was giving me. Y'all ain't catching what I'm saying, because I had to learn something. I had to learn this obedience. So now as I'm learning this obedience, God started to move in on my behalf. So now I'm looking at my faith and I'm looking at my works and I'm seeing it actually come alive. I'm seeing God actually do stuff. And so now it made it's okay. I was like, okay, babe, we're gonna tie it together. So now all of our money is together. And so now we're tithing it together. Now our tithe looks different than when she was just tithing by herself. Now we have dual dominion that is going into it. Y'all better catch what I'm saying, because some of y'all have these separate counts and only the spouses is sowing. One spouse is sowing and the other one is debating about it. That's for somebody. Y'all can figure that out by yourself. But so we was doing this and then we put it together and then God started saying, okay, now that you actually doing this, now let me see how big and let me see how disciplined you really are. Let me see how obedient you really are. So now we're taking this and then he's like, so your mortgage payment. I'm like, woo, you stretching me, God. You really stretching me. And so we did it one time, right? We did it one time. And then we watched God literally moved on our behalf. It's like we didn't even miss the mortgage payment. Didn't even miss it. It wasn't like we missed the mortgage payment. When we actually sold the mortgage payment, we actually got the mortgage payment back and some. And so it began the process of me having faith in what God can actually do. Listen, I'm just talking about me and my wife a tithing and sowing. And so we started to, God started to speak to us more often about giving and about sowing. And so we started just doing it. And now we got to a point where she'll look at me and I look at her and she'll be like, what is God saying? And I'll give her amount. She'll be like, yep, that's it. Let's sow it. Boom. And now, but we talk about dual dominion. Because our finances were separated, I was choosing to do something else and she was choosing to be obedient. I was disobedient, but she was obedient. And so because she was doing what she was doing, we had enough of God's favor on our life. But what happens when both of us came together and God really started putting favor on us? He really started showing himself mighty in our situation. And so when we start talking about this, you're like, you can have faith and stuff, but if you don't have the works of obedience, then this is just as dead as you actually, it's dead as it's dead. It's dead. It's not alive. Because if you're not really ready to actually work the obedience in doing it, because it's going to try you. It's going to test you. It's going to test your level of obedience. It's going to test your level of trust. It's going to test your level of faith. It's going to test your level of love. It's going to test your level of commitment. It's going to test your level of consistency. It's going to test every area of your life. Because that's the whole objective. He wants you to have faith in every area of your life. Your thinking, your heart, your spirit, every aspect of you. Is your faith dead or not? Are you working the spirit of obedience? Are you working obedience? Listen, it says, without works of obedience, it's also dead. Your faith without works. I want you to understand works. We have our slogan, marriage works if you work it. It works. But it's a constant thing. You constantly have to work on your faith. You got to constantly work on your marriage. You got to constantly work on your obedience. You got to constantly work on that. So I'm just encouraging you today to truly understand that in James 2 and 26, it says, for just as the human body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works of obedience is also dead. Ooh, hold up. I just had a moment, y'all. This is live. So I just had a whole moment, right? I can remember a time in my life where I was really bad. And I think me and my wife talked about it. I talk about it every now and then. But there was a time in my life, right, when my wife woke up one morning, it was a Sunday too. She woke up and she had a vision that I was dying. That I was literally dying, right? And so because I was arrogant and I was in my own way, I was in my own flesh, I was laughing. Like, why are you trying to scare me? You know, I'm just like that, you know, whatever, you know, she's crying. And if you know my wife don't cry. So when she's crying about it, I was like, yeah, whatever. I ain't take it serious. Then we go to church. Now my apostle is standing, like sitting at the desk in front of the front door where he never sits. So I go in there. I'll come in and he said, can I talk to you? So he pulls me over. He starts talking to me about me dying. So I was like, okay, wow, she gonna call you and tell you that I'm her dream that I was dying. And so now you wanna bring it to me? I said, so did you talk to her? He was like, no, I didn't talk to her. I caught you in a dream and that you're dying. Like, but they were talking about the spiritual death. It was talking about spiritual death. So for as the human body without the spirit is dead. I was literally the spirit of God was going into a reprobate place. I was going into a reprobate place. Like, whoa, I didn't even realize that I was so arrogant. I was so self-righteous. I was so rebellious. I was so stubborn. I was all of that dumb stuff. And so I laughed at both of them. And not really realizing that the Spirit of God was leaving. Like Ichabod. Like, yeah, the Spirit of God is not here no more. Like leaving me. And I wasn't even thinking about any of that. And then I'm starting reading this scripture again, and he took me back to that place. He took me back to that place. And I can remember when I was out there, and God gave me a choice. He said, do you want to live or do you want to die? Today is the day you're going to have to make a choice. And I chose to live. And when I chose to live, I started to change my whole lifestyle. I had to change the way I thought. I had to change the way I lived. I was homeless when he did that. I was losing everything in the natural, and now I was about to lose everything in the spirit. I had done lost my family, lost my finances, lost my friends, lost my cousins, uncles, lost them, the ones that were, you know, in my town. I lost them. They ain't really do me like that because I was out there. I was out there. Yeah. Now my cousin, she loved me. She loved me through it. She helped me through it. Tammy, she helped me through it. She helped me through it. And I love her for that. Because in that time, I was still struggling. I was still a hot mess. And it didn't matter how much of a hot mess I was. She ain't want me to be out there in the street. She ain't want me to be homeless. She ain't want me to be nothing. So she did what she could for me and to help me. But let me tell you something. To have faith to come out of that place, I had to have a new level of obedience. I had to literally have a new level of obedience. And so when I say, and I took it from Coach Sophia Ruffin Wilson, I took it from her, because when she said it's going to be God or it's going to be God, I don't have a plan B. There's no plan B for me. I took away my choices. I took away my choices. My choices was causing me not to be obedient. My choices was causing me not to have works of obedience. My choices for me was having me into a place where I was going to lose everything. Those were my choices. Those weren't the choices that I chose because I was following God. I wanted to be obedient to God. So I take away my choices. Because I wasn't making good choices. So if you're a person that is not making good choices, you need to take them away. And tell yourself it's going to be God or it's going to be God. I don't have a plan B. Don't have a plan B. Don't have a plan B. Everybody always say, well, what's your plan B? I don't have one. I don't have one. I don't. My plan is, I'm doing it God's way, and I'm going to do it the way God wants me to do it. And I'm going to do it the way how he wants it. Every instruction that he gives me, I'm going to do it. Now, do I get it right all the time? Nope. But what I do is I get back to it very quickly. I repent for not following all of the instructions, because I don't want to give the enemy a breach. I don't want to give the enemy a way in to sabotage my life, to sabotage what God has entrusted me with. I don't want to give the enemy any of that. And how many times, if I ask you, do you have faith that God would do this? Oh my God, yes. Then show me some work. Show me some works. Don't show me work. Oh, I worked on it yesterday. Oh, I worked on my attitude today. Oh, I worked on my facial expression today. Oh, I didn't mistreat her today. Or I didn't walk out on her today. I didn't dismiss her conversations today. No, I'm talking about, are you constantly working on this every day? Every day that you open your eyes, every day that you wake up, every day that you breathe, every day that you breathe the light, the breath that God has given you to live your life. Are you walking this out? Because I'm always going to the verse that says, you know, that you was bought with a price. I was bought with a price. So I don't even belong to myself. So how could I, why should I feel like I got another choice? I know God gives us choices. I know that. It's not like I don't know that. I know that. That's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of us. Because, oh my God, God knows my heart. Sad thing about it is he does know your heart. And he knows when you're not going to actually do it, Gerald. That's a sad thing. And we think that we get one over on God. But God is so loving, he's so gracious, and he's so merciful. He gives you an opportunity to repent and get back right. But there's times when you don't even think about the disobedience that you're operating in and never go back to the repenting. That's why I took away that other choice. The other choice. Listen, I want to live long. I want to do all that God has me to do. Man, listen, my faith is huge. There's things that God has showed me. I want all of it. I don't want to see somebody else fulfill the very thing that I need to do. Everything that I need to do, I need to build for my children's children and my children's children. That's what I want to do. I want to complete every assignment that God has for me to complete. I want to fulfill it in this time. I want to fulfill it on earth. I don't want to see it being fulfilled when I'm in heaven by somebody else when it was supposed to be my job. I want to fulfill it so my children don't have to struggle the way I had to struggle. My children's children won't see the same demons that I had to deal with, that you won't see you shall see these demons no more. I don't want to see them. I don't want my kids to see them. I don't want my kids' kids to see them. I don't want that. So I'm willing to put in the work. I'm willing to put in the work for the faith that I have that my children will be, and my children's children will be protected and taken care of, and they will operate in a level of faith that will go beyond my faith. This ain't about me. But it starts with me. And it starts with you. So if you sitting here having these blueprints of these huge things, and God says, do you have faith in this? Do you have faith in what I'm showing you? Do you have faith in this huge thing? Do you have faith? Because there comes with work. Are you willing to work this thing? Are you willing to network? Are you willing to partner up? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sow? Are you willing to give? Are you willing to do the things that I'm asking you to do for it? Are you? Gerald. Because I don't want nobody to think, oh, he's just coming at us. No, I'm coming at myself. I can't see y'all. I see me. And I tell y'all all the time, this coaching session, it's coaching me. I'm trying to coach myself up. Because if I don't coach myself up, then what? Then what? So thank you for joining me for a therapy session. On to being delivered from dead faith. Listen, today is the day that you understand that there's going to be, you need to have works of obedience. God is giving you instructions on these simple things, these huge things, and we have been disobedient. Listen, you might say, oh, I'm just a little disobedient. Listen, a little disobedience, still disobedience. You can't sugarcoat that. A lie is a lie. A little white lie, still a lie. Okay, so let's see what I'm saying. These are the things that we pick up and we make those our choices instead of saying I lied or I'm disobedient. Lord, forgive me. I repent for being disobedient when you told me to do this, when you told me to forgive my spouse, when you told me to love my spouse, when you told me to be kind to my spouse, when you told me to be kind to my coworker, when you told me to give and I didn't give, when you told me to sow and I didn't sow, when you told me to apologize to my children and I didn't apologize to my children. And now there's a spirit of separation. There's a spirit of anger that operates in the light, in the the children's life or loneliness or abandoned, feeling like they can't come to you, that they can't talk to you, that the situation in the marriage has caused them to feel sour about marriage and sour about relationships. There's things that God has asked you to do to show that shows your children who he is. But instead, we showing them what the world would do or say or feel emotional. Yep. I think I got the picture, God. I got the picture. So I ask you right now, Lord, to forgive me. Forgive Gerald Eugene Benton Jr. for everything, every disobedient act that I've committed in my whole life, from my childhood, the times when my mother or my grandmother asked me to do something and I lied and didn't do it. Forgive me for the times that caused me to operate in a rebel spirit. Just rebellious. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Forgive me, Lord. Strip me of this disobedience. Strip me of the things that caused me to be selfish and immature. Strip me of those things that of my thinking that causes me to think that I can do something one way and thinking I'm going to get a godly result. Forgive me, God. Holy Spirit, forgive me for quenching, hindering you from doing and being who you are in my life. Forgive me. Father, I trust you. I lean, rely, and I trust in you. Father, I thank you now for giving me long life. I thank you, Father God, for healing these areas in my life and healing the sickness and disease that have operated in my bloodline, Father God, that have caused my relatives to die early. I bind the spirit of Molech, premature death. Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you're giving me long life. That I will be obedient to your will and your way. Father, I remove all plan Bs. I remove all other options. I just want to live for you. So, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of all that I have done. Even forgive my mother and my father, and forgive my ancestors, and forgive the people that have gone before me, Father God, of the things that they've done, the things that they have caused to become a generational curse. So I break every generational curse that has been passed down through bloodlines, that has been passed down through word curses. I cancel them now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I say that those curses no longer have an effect on our life. I renounce every word I done spoke about somebody or spoke about my family, my spouse, my children. Father God, I renounce them now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that they will not be bound by any negativity thing, anything negative that I've said, anything that have caused them, their faith to not flourish, Father God. I bind the spirit of disobedience that tries to operate in the bloodline now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So, Father, I thank you for liberty in my bloodline. I thank you for liberty upon this line, liberty upon the households, liberty upon your children now in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for liberty. I thank you, Father God, that we're delivered, Father God, from dead faith. So, Father, let our faith blossom like never before. Let it go into a new level, Father God, beyond what we have ever thought or ever think, now in the name of Jesus. Father, I give you honor, I give you glory for this day and this opportunity to repent and get it right. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, y'all, I don't know about y'all, but that was heavy for me. And I thank God for lifting this burden and this heaviness off of me in regards to this dead faith, even just the works of obedience, realizing that I truly have to figure, I have to understand daily working on the spirit of obedience, because there's things that God is asking us to do that we got to be quick with it. We got to be quick with the obedience. We can't debate about it. We can't think about it, because you start thinking about it, your flesh going to give you another option. Amen. All right, y'all. Hey, y'all be blessed, and y'all have an awesome and wonderful day. Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music, for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king. See you next week.